Rabbi Isai Zazoy. Believe it or not, I think we're going to finish Shar HaTshuva today. So here in the end of Perek Tes, the Chavz Lubava speaks about Machdias HaRabim, and he tells us that B'chlal Machdias HaRabim is anybody who has the Yecholos B'yadoi, but Tzavos Lasos Toiv, anybody who's in a position, you are a bad influence, and you literally subvert and seduce people to sin. But even if you are a good person, you're a very good person, and davka, because you're such a good person, you're the Chofetz Chaim, and people would listen to you, but you don't open your mouth up, and you see people doing sins, and you let them get away with it, so that itself is in the category of Machdias HaRabim. So the reason, why are you telling them? What is it then? Why in the world wouldn't you want to tell people to do the right thing? He said the reason is either because the people who are doing the chatoyim, you want to get some money out of them. So how can you give them musa? Now again, getting money doesn't necessarily mean you want to get money out of them to buy yourself a new car or a new house. It could be you want to do yeshiva. That's also Machdias HaRabim. You don't want to give a musa for some frum cheshbon. Right? I forget, there was this Rosh Hashiva, who was going to go to a wedding in a conservative temple with a conservative rabbi, because the Baal Simcha promised them $1 million to build themselves a new yeshiva, Yushalayim. How can you go there? How can you be in the same chuppah with a conservative Mesis Mediach rabbi with mixed seating? Who knows what else is going to go on over there? But $1 million for my yeshiva. Yeah, but you're giving a stample of approval that the conservative, you with your kapata and your payas and your beard and your yichas and your yeshiva are standing under the chuppah and saying that it's not so bad to be a conservative. It's not so bad because you're there with him. No, it wasn't she. His name was Max. No, it wasn't Maxine. It was Max. The rabbi's name was Max. And the kids, he was very upset with me. So he called Rav Shach up and he asked Rav Shach if it's right to lose $1 million for his yeshiva because this Meshuggah fanatic Rabbi Foyer told him that if he goes, he's giving a seal of approval to a conservative rabbi and a conservative temple. He's there, a stempel to the temple. So praise the Lord, Rav Shach agreed that Rav Shach, no way, don't go there. Don't go there. At any rate, so you're a Machdias HaRabim if you can stop somebody from doing that avera, and you don't stop them. Either because you want to get some money from them, again, this is from money, or you're afraid of them, or you're just embarrassed. So the Baal Simcha, I told you this story many times, the Baal Simcha was really upset. He didn't know who the rabbi was. So he went to this Rosh Hashiva, he says to him, why aren't you coming to my chasna? So there was a fanatic rabbi in Miami Beach, he intimidated me and he wouldn't let me come. So the Baal Simcha called me up and said, I know who it was, it wasn't you, Rabbi Foyer, you're such a nice person. You would never do such a thing like that. It was probably that rabbi. I'm going to destroy him. I'm going to be right with him, I'm going to destroy him. Yitachas HaShemayim. Boy, I'm glad it wasn't you, because I know you're a nice person. He used to even come to a shir by me, this guy. So I said, well, let me tell you the story, Chaim. It was me, wasn't that rabbi. He's innocent. I'm also innocent. I had a mitzvah. I can't believe it. You're my Rebbe. You teach me Torah. And you're such a Sony Yisrael. I said, I'm not Sony Yisrael. You can't go to the conservative temple. Stand up in the chuppah together with the conservative rabbi. Can't be done. It's like your mom is giving a seal of approval to the whole situation that's going on over there. No. An Orthodox rabbi is going to perform the wedding. It's not going to be done by the conservative rabbi. He's nothing. He's not participating. garnished, no, it's Ishul, his temple, he will participate. Mark my words. No, he promised he won't. I'm paying an Orthodox rabbi, and the rabbi is my friend, but he's not going to participate. He'll participate. In the end, the conservative rabbi, he read the Ksuv in English. And the Orthodox rabbi in Hebrew, but he had to read it in English, because one thing, who can understand this archaic Aramaic? They sang a few songs instead of a poem. It all, everything but officiate. He gave a speech. It wasn't Masada Kedushin, it's true. He didn't make one of the Sherev Brachas. He didn't read the Ksub in Aramaic. He read it in English and sang his ditties and did his thing and had his drasha. So the conservative rabbi's officiating. What do you expect in his shul? His temple. Shul. Anyway, so you can just be embarrassed. You don't want to be embarrassed. As Yeshaya Novi said, Ponai nosati kachalomish. Yeshaya said, when I gave Musa to Klai Yisrael, I made my face like a rock, and they scratched me, and they beat me, and they spit at me, as I state in Yeshaya. Yeshaya said, I don't care. Gevi nosati lamakim. I turned my back to those who wanted to beat me, and they whipped me on the back, and they spat at me, and they threw stones at me. No problem. That's what you have to do. If a person is in a position of influence, it doesn't mean rabbis only. It means Avram Bodenheim. You tell somebody, some Musa, you don't do it. Someone's talking next to you in shul, you don't say anything about it. It's your problem. I don't see them. I don't see all the nefarious talkers. You see them. You look further back in the shul. If you don't say anything, why? Because you're embarrassed. You don't want to get... But the rabbi, he's paid to get into trouble, get ulcers. Why should I get ulcers? No, that's what I'm going to pay for. You make a mistake. You call this pay? At any rate, everybody's mechuyev to stop those who are doing something wrong, or else you're machti sarabim. Paste it up here. That's it. Even Barry Moskowitz and Mechuyev. You just can't be Mr. Nice Guy your whole life. You have to put a frown on. If someone's talking, Goyarim by you, Zeshtetin Ramah. That's it. You don't do it, you're in trouble. Sorry. Anyway, that's the end of Perek Tes. Perek Yud, he says, what? Okay, so Tachlis. Tshuva, what are we going to do for tshuva? This is the last parak in the Shara Tshuva, Parak Yud. And he says, listen, you come to Shemayim 120, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam asks you, why don't you do tshuva? So you're going to give a lot of limp, weak, shvach answers. Obviously, you didn't come to the Shira and try tshuva. That's the first answer. That's not a very good answer. It's not a very good excuse. You'll say, I didn't know how to do tshuva. I never heard of this tshuva business. I thought once a year the Rav gives up Shabbos tshuva drasha, and he's supposed to talk and I'm supposed to sleep. Is that what the idea is? That we should get a good rest before Yom Kippur? I didn't have a chayav to do tshuva. So I didn't know about that. Not only that, that's not going to work. He says, well, another excuse you'll give to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is, I didn't know how to do tshuva. I don't know how. You gotta learn how to, you're right, you have to learn how to do tshuva. I didn't know how to do it, so I didn't do it. So he said, that's not a teretz either. Because once you know that you have to do tshuva, you have to learn how to do it. You learned how to drive a car, you learned how to vote, you learned how to write, you learned how to write checks, you learned how to do everything you had to, whatever you had to do, you did. You'll have to learn this too. You should learn tshuva. If you know you're chayav to do tshuva, so you should have done tshuva, you should have found out about it. LMI, you're lazy, really. You really, at the very least, you're lazy. And he says a great line. He says, "Taitzos ha'atlus, atlus, ein pri ha'atlus charata." The fruit of laziness is regret. The fruit of laziness is regret. Pri ha'atlus is charata. You will regret it. So therefore, he says, "Akitza achim itardema tipshutcha." My dear brother, wake up from the sleep, the slumber of your stupidity. Your stupid slumber, the slumber of your foolishness, the slumber of your ignorance, that's the better word probably, mitardomas, mitardemas, tipshuscha, get up from the slumber of ignorance. People think ignorance is bliss. It's not. Rachim al nafshecha, have rachmanis on your soul, because your soul is apikod nachi nichbod mikol apikdoinais. Your soul is the most precious Pikadon that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam gave you. You have to have rachmanis in your soul. Until now, you have wasted your soul and wasted your time running after your tithes, like an eved, like a slave who runs away from his master. You're wasting your time. You're running from the Rabbanu Shlom. So listen, he says, you know, life is very short, and the life that's left to you is even shorter. Life is short to start with. But how old are you now? You're 40 years old. You're 45. No. The Chesed, 70 years, if you're lucky. 80 years, the Brewers. You're 40 already, 42, you're already over the hump. Chances are that you have less to live than you lived till now. And Chazal say, Hayom Katzer v'malacha Meruba, the day is short, the work is long. A friend of mine, exactly my age, last Thursday, he got up in the middle of the night, he tells his wife, I just had a dream. No, I had a dream. Let's say I had a dream. He says, I'm dead. I'm dead. He was dreaming, he was dead. He dreamt he was dead. I said, but you're alive, you're right here. No, I'm dead. I see myself lying on the floor. I'm dead. See, wife went back to sleep. He gets up a second time. I'm dead. The wife called the son. We're going to call out Sol. But I can call out Sol. He's perfectly healthy. He's a normal person. I'm dead. And a few minutes later, he had a massive heart attack. He was dead. Yeah, he was dead. He went to Shiva. My age. Went to school with me from the first grade through Kylo. Just like that. Just dropped dead. Just like that. And amazing. His mom had a dream. He's dying. He's dead. It's for the plan. So, who knows? So, you know, Hayom Katzam, Lachem Ruba. You never know. And Sabbath Chazos, our whole life, we're running away from the Rabbanu Shlom. We're like servants running away from our master. Oh, of course, again, we always pay a little bit of, but most of the time we're running away from the Rabbanu Shlom. We are running towards our taivas and running away from the Rabbanu Shlom. A little bit for God, mostly our taivas. Really, we'd rather not spend so much time in shul, because it's too close to God, too close to the rabbi, and rabbis get me nervous, and the conscience gets me nervous. And you're ready, the good ones, you're here for the shir. Can you imagine, where's everybody else? They don't want to hear this kind of stuff. They had enough in the yeshiva. I asked them, like, what do you want? We had enough Musa in the yeshiva. We're your wives. They had enough in Beis Yaakov. They had enough. They don't want to hear anymore. No joke. Well, what can I tell you? We have the shir here. I'll come to your bodies, like the Chofetz Chaim said. I'll come to Shemayim and say, I made the shir in Zichus Tshuva. They didn't come. I'm sorry, God. We announced it. I spoke to them. They all said they had enough Musa in the yeshiva. What am I supposed to do? I'll announce it again, but they're not interested. Zag the Chofetz Lubavitch, therefore, my dear brother, you have a wonderful neshama. And you mechabe your neshama by having in this world, this is a lousy world. You should know that this world is a lousy environment for your neshama. And the truth is, your soul being in this world was a big covet to the world. The world doesn't deserve it. This schmutzike, filthy world, this lousy world, doesn't deserve something as precious as your neshama and my neshama. It's too high. It doesn't deserve it. Our neshama is too good for this world. But the problem is that you mechabit the world too much with the presence of your neshama, and you start feeling at home. It's like Golas. And you forgot that your neshama is destined to go back to a place where it really belongs, and where attack is possible with neshama. But you can saw a rangatan on the mahaza. You had so rangatan on the mahaza that you forgot where your neshama belongs, and you made your mahaza so beautiful, and so comfy, and so lovely, to the last detail, Hashem said, what happened to every detail in Shulchan Aruch? The details in Shulchan Aruch is decorating your Olam Haba, is decorating your final mansion for your neshama. You put so much kaychas into your mansion in Olam Haza, where's the place for your neshama? What do you do about your neshama? Every detail you live in neshama. Every step in Shulchan Aruch is another curtain, another doorknob, another beautiful piece of molding, another curtain, another Olam Haba. So every sif in Shulchan Aruch, if you would have looked over every sif in Shulchan Aruch, like you look over the architect's plans and the designer and the interior decorator's plans, you'd have a beautiful Olam Haba. But meanwhile, you use your beautiful neshama, which is so precious, to mechabe this lowly, filthy schmutzige gevel, which is garbage, and it's going to come to garbage. And how beautiful your castle is! They're the biggest castles in England, but after 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, they fall into disrepair. They're gone. So whatever castle you built here is going to disappear. And your castle, Olam Haba, you neglect it. There's nachlas achrischa shishar la'at. And you didn't... She's spending the rest of her life lifting on the shamas to the great castle in the sky and the great palace in the sky. That's what we should be doing the rest of our lives. Because once we go over there, we can't come back. And once we're dead, we can't beautify those castles for anything, nothing. So we should spend all the money. So we're very good. We give 10% to stock. Oh, I give 20% to stock. But the 80% is for me. And when you get a windfall, the luck is you can give more than 20%. And in order to decorate my Olam Haba, you can give much more than 20%. And for Tshuva, you can give more than 20%. And for Talmud Torah, you can give more than 20%. And if you love the Rabbein Shalom, you can give more than 20%. If not that 10, you can give more than 20%. We should, because that's to be forever. It's like the... ...trying to the Rebbe that he doesn't get respect from the Balabatim. What else is new? And he can't afford to buy himself a decent Shabbos kapelutz, forget a shtreimel. So the Kibbutz Rebbe said, what? Oh, 1 second. And the Rebbe runs upstairs, and he comes down with a hat box, a brand new beaver hat, and he gives it to him. He says, Rebbe, no, I can't take your hat, please. No, take the hat, you gotta take the hat back, I can't take the Rebbe's hat. He says, no, you do me a big favor, take the hat. Why? Because that's my Olam Haba hat. If I give it to you in Olam Haza, that's my Olam Haba. So take the hat. If I give you a beautiful hat in Olam Haza, that will be my beautiful hat for Olam Haba forever. So I give you in this world, that's my Olam Haba. What I give away in this world is what I get in the next world. So try and give away as much as I can to my next world, which is forever and ever and ever. It'll be a lot, and it'll be very beautiful. For Olam Haba, I'm very selfish. For Olam Haza, forget it, take it, gesunte hate. So that's what you're thinking about. Dirshu Hashem b'matzai. Karu b'yaisa karo, he says, in this world, the Chazal say, Dirsh Hashem b'matz is on a seris mei tshuva. Zad l'chavaz v'av is really our whole life. In this world, is Dirsh Hashem b'matz, karu b'yaisa. Hashem is close in this world, and he wants to hear from us, and he wants our tshuva, so Hashem can refurbish our palace. Every time we do an aveira, every lishtik lashon hara, every look we shouldn't be looking, every nasty, evil thought we have, every vicious thought we have with somebody else, every jealousy we have, every chemda, every leisachman we're over, every lashon hara, every cook, every thought, every look, every word, every action, destroys the beautiful castle in the sky. Yesterday you put in, you gave away $10,000 to stock, you thought you did something. Today, by doing that there, you burnt it up. You took a bulldozer, you knocked down what you built. It's gefährlich. So tshuva can restore it. Tshuva is a big restoration. Tshuva is a renovation. If you don't do tshuva, then you burnt it. Maybe not the whole thing, you burnt down this wing, that beautiful room. You had a beautiful room, you burnt it down. You burnt it. This world is the time when Hashem is close by and is willing to make renovations. So he said, be azariz, do tshuva today, don't wait till tomorrow. He is doreis lachs of a tshuva, l'fnei boya yom shincha mafachimenu. Do tshuva before the arrival of the day that you're really afraid of. Because the day will come and you can't do tshuva anymore. It's too late. You'll come to Shabbayim, you'll say, well, I did so many good things, what happened? Yeah, but you do so many bad things too. The bad things were worse than the good things. Yeah, you burnt down your own house. You did it, you vandalized. Well, that graffiti over there, that schmutz, that's the nidl peh, and the bad thoughts you had, and the bad things you were reading, you did tzedak, you came to a shir. Oh, here's a svarim. See the svarim you looked at? Yeah, those are the svarim you looked at. There they are, very nice svarim. And there's graffiti all over them, and they're slashed, and there's schmutz all over them, and there's garbage all over them, and there's filth all over them. Yeah, because after you went this year, you went ahead, you spoke, and you looked, and you thought, and you read, and you looked at a video, you looked at the television, you looked at the internet. So the whole thing is filthy. That's a big design. But better you shouldn't have learned, maybe. Because if you don't learn, there wouldn't be a swarm over there. But now that you learned, and you did all those other things, you mamish, like you put schmutz, you flushed the swarm down the toilet. You flushed the swarm, you used the swarm for toilet paper, Rahman Islam. That's what you did with your swarm, toilet paper. She said, the day is because you're afraid of that. But in this world, we allow ourselves to be in denial. It's not going to happen. It's not true. It's too dramatic. The rabbi likes to give dramatics. He's a little over-dramatic. He wants to win an Oscar or a Tony or whatever. It's too much drama. But that's how it is. He says, you know, first of all, you don't know you're going to live one more day. And you better be afraid about what's going to be, not just tomorrow, today in the afternoon. And you'll come and you'll see that you wasted a life and you neglected your neshama. You may believe in your neshama. You paid lip service, but you didn't. You know the truth. So have busha for the Rabbanu Shlom. At least treat God like you treat a human being. Right? So again, everyone's so afraid. If someone invites me to their simcha, I dare not come to the chuppah, so I'll schlep to Brooklyn, and I'll waste 4 hours of my time, because I gotta come to their simcha. So I have to even come to their vort, because they're expecting the vort. They ask me personally, come to the vort, I gotta come to the graduation, because someone gets me on the graduation. How can I, they'll never talk to me. But where were you at? But you don't mind coming late to shul, or missing a gansen, or missing a shir, or missing this, that you don't mind. So the Rabbi Shalom, you have no babusha. Yeah, you missed the chuppah. I'm so embarrassed I missed your chuppah. And you're going to apologize, give a bigger wedding present, because you missed the chuppah, Nebuch. You missed the chuppah. So must someone else's chuppah, you're all nervous and embarrassed. But missing Baruch Hu, missing Kaddish, coming late for davening, this is a problem. With God, we can't do it. With God, there's no problem. I miss this mitzvah. I say Kriyishma, I miss man Kriyishma. I miss man Kriyishma. If you miss someone's a graduation, I missed a birthday party. I missed the family get together. But you missed Krishma. I forgot the bench, or I potted up the bench and gone. If you speak to people like you speak to the bench, on benching, they wouldn't even talk to you anymore. They wouldn't spit at you anymore. Because that's how you talk to somebody, that's how you talk. You mumble jumble, you don't have to think about it. See, where's your bushes up there? Make a cheshbon. His bayish mi beracha. The snag ita bitsura sheikha rice, the snag ba afila klapi nivra kamaicha. You wouldn't treat another fellow human being like you treat their Rabbanu Shlom. You treat God lousy. You treat God like he's a third class citizen. You treat him like less than a kid. You have more derech eretz for a little kid than you do the Rabbanu Shlom. So it could be, you know, you're oinish. You have no idea how angry Hashem is at you. Do you think Hashem loves you? Do you think Hashem is chavar lava with you? I'm on first name basis, the Rabbanu Shlom. Hashem is angry at you, he's coughing. But Hashem has his reasons why he's being ma'arachav. But the day's gonna come, double whammy, after Elam Hazeh, you'll get it. In Elam Haba, you'll really see what's going on. It's gonna be bizyonis, we better do tshuva. We have no derech eretz for the Rabbanu Shlom. So, we better, he says, get ready. The Yadam, he kindled the cross on the seal of Elam Haba. Get ready for your big trip to Elam Haba. And remember the rule, the longer the trip, the more you prepare. See if you're going to go from here to Brooklyn. If you're going from here to Wesley Hills, you prepare. Prepare, just hop in the car, you go to Wesley Kosher. If you're going from here to Brooklyn, you prepare a little bit more. Go to Chasnas, you go to Chasnas, you have to prepare nice clothing, prepare a tie, brush off your hat, you're going to Chasnas in Brooklyn. If you're going to Baltimore, you prepare a little bit more. Go to Florida, Achmer. Going to Eretz Yisrael, prepare a couple of days, or at least maybe a week or two. Going to Eretz Yisrael, you got to prepare. You're going to Europe. It's a longer trip, you got to prepare. So imagine we're going on the longest trip of our lives forever, going to the world to come. We're out of this world, we'll never come back. Can't go back, can't take anything back. And we have to be packed our bags for the day. When the day comes, there's no time to pack anymore. We have to have our bags ready all the time for Elam Haba. And if we didn't pack it now, it's never going to get packed. It's not going to go with us to Elam Haba. If we unpack the luggage with mitzvahs and Torah, it's not going to get there. And if the bag is a shvacha bag, because we undermined the locks, because we did our veiris, and therefore we ripped, slashed the luggage, everything we packed is going to fall out. It's going to fall out. Today, Adam, he climbed the cross in the seal of Elam Haba. Son of man, get ready for the long trip to Elam Haba. Because today, one of these is going to die. I don't know which one he said. Someone's going to die here. Within today, someone in Muncie is going to die. Someone's going to die. Someone's going to, in the tri-state area, some year is going to die. More than 1 year. Maybe 10 years they're going to die. Within the week, for sure, someone's going to die. Within the month, he says, there's no question that someone real near, someone around here is going to die within a month. And it might be you. It might be one of us. Ein chiyadeya mimi kemu. We don't know who's the one. We don't know who's the one that's going to die. So you better get ready. So everybody should get ready for the big trip every day. We should have our baggage packed. We really believe in the final din, the cheshbon. If we believe in the world to come, if we believe in judgment, then we should have our bags packed and cleaned up. We should clean up our act and do tshuva every day. Every davening, we should do tshuva. Every 3 times a day, we should be mamish doing tshuva. Hashiveinu avinu sar sech shviyazah bracha. That's the fifth bracha. Slachlan avinu shviyazah bracha. With real tears. Ah, oh, your Marjan, please forgive me. I might just drop dead after mincha. Who knows? Might be the last mincha of my life. I better daven good. I better do tshuva right now. I might just drop dead and it's too late after I'm dead. I can't do any more tshuva. Of course I can't do mitzvahs anymore. I can't even do tshuva anymore. Banishlam, do tshuva. Someone's gonna die today for sure. Someone's dying. So get ready. And don't say that Hashem didn't speak to you. He says, because Hashem is always speaking to us. Hashem is always speaking to us. Hashem is always giving us Musar, but we don't take the Musar properly. So get ready, he says. And finally, says the Chayav Levavos, he says, people think, there's people who think they can solve all their spiritual problems with money. Just throw money at it. I'll give a little more tzedakah. I'll give a little more. I'll bribe the rabbi. Make him happy with me. I'll give him something. He says, a marshal, the Kadmonim gave a marshal to a person who came to a big river. He had to go across the river. And he's a very wealthy man. And his whole life, whatever he wants, he's in control because he has a lot of money. So he sees a big river, and there's no way to get across the river. He can't walk across the river. It's not shallow. It's a deep river. So he calls the servants over and says, bring on the money. And they come with big wagons full of silver coins. And they dump wagon loads of silver coins in the river to make a causeway. And dumping more, like you build a causeway, you dump in gravel, you dump in earth. They were dumping silver coins to make a causeway. They could mamash fill it in finally so you could walk across the river. And they're dumping, and they're dumping, and they're dumping. It doesn't help. But the river's too deep. The current is too swift. They're not making a causeway. Finally, this man, he's so desperate. He only had one coin left. What's he going to do now? He can't get across the river. His whole life, all his problems, he's solving the money. So in the distance, he sees a ferry boat, a boater, and calls him over and says, if I give you the silver coin, will you take me across the river? He says, sure. He gives him the silver coin. That with his last silver coin, his last piece of money, he gets across the river. So too says the Chavos Levavos, people think they're going to get through this world. This world is a torrential river. Swift current, very hard to get from this world to the next world. People think, if I have money, that's going to solve all my problems. But only I won the $200 million lottery. If I won the lottery, I would certainly get the Lohaba too. I'm a believing Jew. I would give the rabbi says, I'll give 25%, not just 10%, not just 25%, rabbi, I'll give 50%. If only I would win $200 million, I'd give $100 million, plenty left for me, if I was into it. If I won the $200 million with money, I could solve all of my problems. I would definitely get the Olam Haba if I won it. No, it's not going to help you. That areas are so strong, $100 million of stuck is not going to help you either. You build 20 yeshivas, it's not going to help you. What are you going to do? You're not going to give just you have $100 million, you give $5 million a piece to 20 yeshivas, and they'll be learning day and night for you. Very nice. But if you don't do tshuva, it's still not going to help. You're still going to go to Gehenna. You're going to go to H-E-L-L. It's not going to help you. Ein mitzvah mechava aveira. A mitzvah does not put out the fire of Gehenna that you made with aveira. God does not take shaykha. You will still burn in Gehenna. You'll still burn in Gehenna. You might have a nice olam haba also for you. But first of all, the olam haba was tainted a lot by your aveiras. But the end you're going to get to the aveiras. Without tshuva, you're going to go to Gehenna. You'll never leave Gehenna. It could be the 20 yeshivas you found for $5 million a piece. It's a big schar in Olam Haba. It's waiting for you, but you may never get there because your averus are so deep, and the averus are so strong, and the current is like the swift river that doesn't allow you to get across it. You have to get across the river called Gehenna, Nahar Dinur. It's called Nahar Dinur, the river of fire. The river of fire. You can't get across the river of fire. It's not the name of a new Harry Potter book. That's the name of a river at the Gehenna. The river of fire. Nahar Dinur. You have to get across it. If you don't get across it, you're not going to Olam Haba. So he said, a person who thinks that with money he'll get there, like the guy who tried to stuff up the river with silver, it didn't help. What helped? The last one, he got the right thing, the ferry boat. That makes sense. Quicker, cheaper. Tshuva will get you there. Well, your money won't get you. Your money will not get you to Olam Haba. Tshuva will get you to Olam Haba. It's a merit of the Gemashal. It's possible because of the Bavas. Gevalt, tshuva will get you. The only thing will get you is tshuva. The rest of the money will not get you to Gan Eden and Olam Haba. So therefore he says, please listen to what I'm saying. Wake yourself up. Listen, don't be lazy. The main reason people don't do tshuva is they're lazy. Why talk is the reason why people think, I'll solve with money? Because people are lazy. Because tshuva requires physical effort. I have to do tshuva. I have to really think. It's mental effort. First of all, it's mental effort. People are lazier mentally than physically. I have to really think about myself. I have to go through, I have to be honest with myself. I have to go through my daily schedule. And I have to talk and push myself to be on time. I have to come to learn. I have to come to daven. I have to push myself to get stuck properly, to talk properly, to learn properly, to act properly, to be a better husband, to be a better father, to be a better son, to be a better member of the community. It's work. It's hard. I got to do things. I have to push myself. It's not getting difficult. It's not getting difficult. I was lazy till now. I'm a lazy person. I'm a resentful person. I'm a nasty person. I know myself. I've studied myself. I'm going to change. It's not easy. But he says, look at the options. The alternative is Yom Teshuva. You'll never get to Olam Haba. Your neshama, which is the most precious thing, will never get where it's supposed to be, where it wants to be. So, Chochmas Asma Lechayemes. Surrender to the truth, says the Chavos of Avos. Surrender to the truth. Stop being in denial. And everybody knows that the longest river in the world is denial. The Nile River is the longest river. Denial. No, the longest, deepest, schwerest river is denial. You're talking about geographic, my friend. We're talking theological. You think I don't know what the Amazon River is all about? Denial, that's the river that's the longest of the worst. That's the river we're all trying to stop with the money. Denial. And so he says, wake up, stop being in denial. Wake up to the emes. Don't run away from the truth. Don't run away from God. Don't run away from the neshama. Look it straight in the face. You know, they had a poll. What are people most afraid of? They had a poll. What are you most afraid of? One says, I'm afraid of a nuclear holocaust. I'm afraid of terrorism. One says, I'm afraid of getting sick, from cancer. One's afraid of poverty, the stock market crashing. One's afraid of his mother-in-law. What are you afraid of, your rabbi? What are you afraid of? But they all missed the mark, because the MS is what people are most afraid of, says the Chavos of Avos, is the truth. People are afraid of the truth. More than afraid of the stock market crashing, more than afraid of cancer, more than afraid of terrorism, losing their money, losing their health. People are afraid of the truth. Don't confuse me with the facts. I don't want the truth. The truth is too hard to accept. Yeah. If only each one of us would have somebody that we would be brave enough to go to and say, okay, tell me the truth about myself. Tell me the amos. Right? We go to someone and say, okay, no holds barred. Tell me the truth. I want to hear the truth. Tell it to me. I'm bracing myself. Tell me the amos. That's what it's all about. That's why honest people, great people, always had a Rebbe, and they said, the only way you can't survive without a Rebbe. And the Rebbe told me the amos about me. Unless you makabel the Rebbe, a selich harab, and you really, really are mavakish the amos, he'll never tell you. Why should he tell you? It's going to hurt you. You'll not accept it anyway. It won't help you very much. Unless you're really ready for it, prepared for it, and you're mamish makabel, and you surrender yourself. He says you have to surrender to the truth, he says. You have to surrender to the truth. Surrender. Don't run away from the truth anymore. And thank God that every now and then Hashem also awakens you to the truth. So whenever you get into an accident, Chas v'Shalom, whenever you have an emergency, whenever something goes wrong in your life, that's a wake-up call from Hashem. Don't be an idiot and think, well, I had an accident, I didn't check my tires before I left the trip, that's why I had a blowout. It's an echt getag. It's a wake-up call from the Rebbeinu Shlom. Nothing happens by itself. Everything is a wake-up call from the Rebbeinu Shlom. Everything. Everything. Every event in your life. Every funeral you're called to. If someone else died, it's a reminder that we're going to die. It's inevitable. Halachim b'rachim of Yosem eschalkeinu b'enem esdorzim lachz v'tshuv e'ilav ha'ashav emeilav b'leiv sholem amen. May the Rebbeinu Shlom with his mercy give our portion to be with those people who mezarez themselves, who stimulate themselves, who inspire themselves, who stir themselves up to be chayzer v'tshuva, who return to God with a full heart, not a half heart. We all do tshuva half-heartedly. We all do tshuva fractionally, marginally. We all do tshuva marginally, but to do it b'leiv shalem, that's what tshuva is all about. If it's not b'leiv shalem, really, half-hearted tshuva is almost an oxymoron, because the other half of our heart is holding ourselves back. Half-hearted tshuva is an oxymoron. It's like being a white-black, or a black-white, or a capitalist-communist, or a communist-capitalist. Right? It's an oxymoron. It's an oxymoron. I have a few other oxymorons, but I'll save them for a different... They're all cute. But you can't be a half-hearted Baal Tshuva. You can't be half-married. You can't be 99%... You can't be, only 99% pregnant, or 1% pregnant. You can't. It's all or nothing. Either you're in Gansam Tshuva, it's not Tshuva, it has to be Tshuva Shlema. V'achzireinu v'Tshuva Shlema v'fanecha Gansa Tshuva. V'ashalba t'vi Gansa Baalei Tshuva.